This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning, I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff and review a few of the big news stories in the Inland Empire over the past week. Cassie's here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Let's start out with the city of San Bernardino has contracted out for its trash collection.
Right. This is part of the adjustments that are having to be made for the bankruptcy plan. The city decided to contract with Burtek. It's a private company based in Fontana, Rancho Cucamonga area. They do serve those two communities, and as well as in the past, they served the county. So the city decided that it's big enough and well-established enough to take over. They've offered a pretty good deal to the city. They're going to hire all 100 employees, and those employees will retain their seniority. They'll retain the same rate of pay. They'll get raises in the future. They'll have medical and dental insurance and a 401k retirement plan. You know, when this was first raised, when the city declared bankruptcy in 2012, the refuse employees protested. They did not want to be transferred to a private company, but it seems Burtek won them over and they're on board. I think part of the reasons they won them over is because they're offering kind of a signing bonus. They'll each get more than $5,000 as kind of a bonus to start.
Okay, sounds like a pretty good deal going from the city to Burtek. What's how's that going to save money if they're getting essentially the same kind of deal?
Well, good question. They're going to collect a franchise fee. That's what a lot of cities do when they have a private contractor collect the refuse. And by the way, initially Burtek has promised to keep the rates the same for the ratepayers, but there's no promises after the first year. They could raise the rates after that.
Okay. In Riverside County, the district attorney, Michael Hestron, says that he will review the county's wiretap policy after the number of wiretaps nearly doubled last year.
Right. Actually, there's been kind of a shocking increase over the previous 4 years. In 2011, there were only 156 wiretaps. By 2014, there were 624. That's a huge increase. So that was under the previous district attorney. And Hestron says he's going to review the policy and kind of discourage any wiretaps that don't have a very definite connection with Riverside County. They've been requested by DA investigators in drug cases, and in fact, they've resulted in cases as far away as the East Coast. So I think Hestron is trying to recognize that the costs are too high and kind of rein in those costs. He does say that drugs have overrun the Inland Empire because of the geography and the freeways. He said the same reason that trucking companies locate here and build warehouses here, the same thing attracts drug traffickers.
Now, when the district attorney says he's going to review the wiretap policy, you said that the increase came under the previous district attorney. And therefore, the current district attorney, who Mr. Hestron just got elected not more than a year ago. So what he's doing is revising the policy of the last administration?
Well, I think what he's saying is he's going to be in charge. He's going to sign off on any request. These have to be signed off on by a judge. But before they go to the judge, he's going to review each case and make sure that there's a solid reason to have a wiretap in Riverside County.
Ah, I see. Okay. And speaking of Riverside County, the Board of Supervisors got a discouraging report the other day that the county's spending is unsustainable unless changes are made.
Yeah, costs have been rising, of course, because of labor contracts. The employees made some concessions as far as their pensions, and so they were promised raises. Well, the raises are one of the problems, the other being that the there was a large settlement with the jails. Jail inmates sued over, they said they weren't getting adequate medical and mental health care, and so the county signed on to a $40 million a year settlement that's to comply and offer better care for the inmates. So that's a cost that's coming up. You know, with the recession 4 or 5 years ago, the county had amassed a pretty good reserve. Most of that reserve was spent down. The CEO of the county told the supervisors that the spending has been relying too much on one-time funding like grants, and the county needs to have a sustainable model, match the spending with the ongoing revenue. So he's calling for an overall review of the county organization to see if the money is allocated properly and where efficiencies can be made.
And finally, a proposed quarry near Corona is raising concerns. And of course, the word quarry has raised red flags in the Inland Empire before. Temecula went through years of controversy with a quarry. And now Corona?
You know, and exactly the same issues are being raised. This is a proposed gravel quarry, just like the one in Temecula was. People who live around there say it's going to create too much dust, too much noise, and too much traffic with, I think, 300 truck trips per day are predicted. Now, this is between the El Sobrante landfill and the Dos Lagos golf course east of the 15 freeway. It's an area that the state geologists have said has a lot of potential for aggregate mining, and only about 10% of it is developed right now, but it's a very unpopular idea with people who live nearby.
Just very quickly, what finally happened with the Temecula quarry controversy? How did they resolve that?
That was proposed in an area that the Pechanga Indians said was sacred to their tribe, and even though the county approved the mine, the tribe bought the 350-acre parcel, and so that kind of rescued it on behalf of the people who live around there. And apparently, this property near Corona also has some American Indian artifacts and petroglyphs, although the developer says that those would be permanently preserved.
Dare I say, here we go again. Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.